This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, Weno Bayside.
For the last time in 2017, good morning, Torsten Casper.
Good morning, Eddie. How are we?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
And we've got him on the line, Sam Gayman. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Eddie.
Are you well?
Yeah, it's been really well. We had a great night with the staff this week. We did the volunteering for the Sacred Heart Mission Heart Concert.
And, you do that every year, don't you?
It was our 10th year, Eddie.
Wow.
So, yeah, no, look, it was great. And best of all, they moved the concert this year, so we didn't freeze out the front of the venue.
We're wrapping up the Chisholm and Gayman Real Estate Show for this year, but it will be back in February.
We will be indeed, Eddie, and can't wait to speak to our listeners again and also guide them in 2018. It's going to be an interesting year to see how the year starts, given the year that we've had in 2017.
And it's been a big 2017, big in the office too, TK.
It has. Look, well, for a start, it's been a long time in my memory as a professional having a clearance rate in Victoria, where you've had a clearance rate that's pretty much averaged in the mid-70s all year. It's been an incredible sustained period of growth for the Victorian and particularly the inner metropolitan market, but most importantly for our listeners, some of the outlying regions have exceeded all expectations and have actually outperformed some of the inner suburbs in different quarters of this year. So it's been a wonderful year from the property market point of view. A lot of happy vendors, a lot of relieved purchases as well, and I think 2018 bodes well for both sides. I think it'll be a steadier marketplace, a lot more predictability, and I think a little bit more opportunity there for buyers, because I think a lot of the vendors that were waiting just to see when the top of the market had been reached are sort of, I guess, cognizant now that they were there, and that you know, they're not feeling as if they're selling themselves short by selling their properties now.
Sure. Sam, what's today's topic?
So, Eddie, I thought, given that we are talking about 2018, we might talk about some of the likely trends for next year.
Okay, so the apricot paint is coming back?
No.
No?
It's still not coming back, Eddie. I'm sorry, you're going to have to keep that tin in the garage a little bit longer.
Oh, no. So what are the trends for 2018?
Well, I think what you're going to see a lot more of are properties being, perhaps in terms of new development, you'll see a lot more boutique developments and a greater number of properties being built with ground floor bedrooms and properties with private lifts as well. I think you're going to see a much higher quality, you know, of building, you know, or continued high quality of building, and you'll see that people really wanting to deliver to the market properties that appeal to owner occupiers, because I think in 2018. The investor market may have some, you know, some vulnerability, and the stronger market is going to be the owner occupiers.
So, Torsten, what are some other likely trends?
Well, I think the interest rate environment, I think we're going to see some slight increases, but not the dramatic increases that we thought would be happening at the start of this year. I think everyone assumed that there'd be a 2 to 2.5% differential between the start of the year and the end of next year, and it's looking as if that gap might be about half of that.
Yes.
So that bodes well for both the marketplace as far as sales are concerned, but also I think the continued investment from first home buyers. There's no question that the first home buyers' changes with the stamp duty and the grant have actually had an effect. That group of buyers has increased since the introductions by the state government, and I can see that continuing. I think another change is there are certain areas that have had, I guess, an overdevelopment phase. And when, what I say that is that there have been a number of projects come online in a short period of time, and those areas will settle. And what will happen with that is that there'll be some growth in some of those pockets where there hasn't been, because there's been instant competition running through for the last 18 months with a new building being built every or coming to market every few months in certain municipalities. So I think that change is certainly on the cards.
This is The Real Estate Show, back shortly.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, Weno Bayside.
9531 1245 is the one central number you need for Chisholm and Gaiman. We know Bayside. 9531 1245 for all your real estate needs. Residential, commercial, property management, sales. Four offices. Torsten, where are they?
They are in Mount Martha, Blackrock, Elwood and Port Melbourne, Eddie.
And we continue. Torsten, how do you think the rental market's going to go?
Great question, Eddie. Look, I think that as interest rates increase fractionally, I think that'll provide a bit of strength. Also, as I said prior to the break, that with a slight slowdown in the amount of properties that are coming up in our inner Bayside areas as far as the development cycle, I think that you've got an opportunity there for some rent increases, which a lot of landlords haven't had the opportunity for the last 18 months because there have been a bit of an oversupply. So whilst the equilibrium between renters and properties available has been in favour of tenants in recent the last 18 months, I think you'll find that gap will actually become a lot more even, which will allow for landlords to get a bit of catch-up with their increased costs. And that is good news for landlords, but also won't be anything dramatic for listeners there that are renting at the moment. I just think there'll be a slight increase there, which will actually help some of the landlords recoup a few of the costs that they've incurred without any rental increase over the last 18 months.
Torsten, do you think now is the time for landlords to renovate their properties?
Look, I think in that marketplace, I think there's no question that we're a big fan of renovating to attract better quality tenants, to again get some depreciation benefits whilst the depreciation rules are attractive for renovating your kitchens and your bathrooms and giving a property a genuine makeover. So I think that's it's always prudent to have a look at the cost benefit. In this cycle coming up, I think it's even more important to do so.
And guys, I thought we might just finish by touching on timing, and that's a good point with the rentals. For those, and Torsten's always recommended, for those landlords of ours that do have a property coming vacant around Christmas time, that if they do put a new tenant in, to allow for a 13-month lease, just to give yourself that buffer of making sure that your next timing is going to come up perhaps in January, so that you're not falling in a difficult period over the New Year period where it's going to be harder and a more sustained vacancy, just to make sure that you're getting into the best possible market. And the other thing is the timing for the 2018 sale. So, Torsten, I mean, we have a number of campaigns that are starting to book in, and we're booking an auction for the third and fourth weekend in Feb, which means, you know, starting your campaign just around that last week of January or the first week of Feb, and trying to focus on getting your auction in before the Labor Day weekend, which is the second weekend in March. So you ideally want to be in that sort of late Feb, first weekend of March, to make sure you hit the ground running. And that means getting your photos done probably early January or even now, and doing it before you go away.
Sammy, because of the way the rental market is now, is it a good time for those people who traditionally were investors to consider selling their property?
Eddie, it is something that's worth considering, but it depends on what you're aiming to do. So, it depends on how well your property's performing and whether it's the right growth vehicle. So there's been certain property assets that offer you a better return in terms of your rental yield, but perhaps have not seen the same growth levels. And that's because we've seen the greatest growth levels in properties that have a larger outdoor area or a certain land component,
mm-hmm.
or that have car parking, smaller blocks. What you want to do is assess your portfolio and say to yourself, right, am I getting the best out of this vehicle? Does that work for me? If it is a case of it's being well serviced with the rent and you're happy and you're getting consistent growth, then by all means, maintain that investment. If you feel as though you could perhaps sell it, realise the capital and move it into something that's going to give you a potential long-term growth, whether it's a villa unit with a bit of land around it. You know, the typical 1960s villa units, we've seen just astronomical growth in those properties.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be daggy. They're now considered a very valuable asset. So it's about structuring and having a chat to our team to say, right, you know, would I be better off reinvesting my money into something that's going to give me a boost in the next 5 years? So, you know, that's a case-by-case basis, and I think that the best starting point is to talk to Chisholm and Gaiman. I mean, we can help you out with that, and we're experienced.
Absolutely. This is The Real Estate Show. Back shortly.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gaiman, Weno Bayside.
Torsten, we continue.
Eddie, given the time of year, I think it's also important to acknowledge that if you can get your photos done where you've got your